All right, Paradise Town Board will come to order August 30th, 2022 at 7 o'clock. And if you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just to get started on a couple of things here before we go on with the agenda. If you look at the top of the agenda, the items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may continue two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken in any manner not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute any cell phones or other electronic devices that might interrupt the meeting. And if you have any private conversations that you'd like to conduct with somebody else in the room, if you take them outside over here on the side or in the back lobby there, so that it doesn't interrupt the meeting. It's very difficult to hear, and we have to deal with the air conditioning as well. I'll leave the last two items for all of you to sort of peruse through. Let the record reflect that the board members are here except for John Wardlaw and Susan Phillip, who is excused. They're both excused. Do we have any county introductions? Okay. Anyone else? All right. Item number two, the public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If you wish to speak, you'll come up to the table, and if you would, pick up the microphone here, push it up, there'll be a little light. We do require you to use it because this meeting is recorded and you can listen to it later on the website. I don't know how long it takes for that to happen, but it'll be done. When you do come up, please step up to the table. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. We have approval of the minutes for the August 9th, 2022.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes of August 9th, 2022 as written.
We have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting on August 9th, 2022. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Approve the agenda for tonight's meeting, August 30th, 2022.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda for August 30th, 2022 with one exception, a hold for agenda item number one, UC 220405.
Okay, we have a motion to approve tonight's agenda with a hold on item number one, which would be on 927 or 22. It'll be heard. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And let's see, any informational items? Okay, we'll move on to number six, planning and zoning. Number one has been held. That was UC 220405, Rebel Land and Development LLC. That will be heard most likely on September 27th. Item number two, BS 220430, Church LDS Presiding Bishop, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Tropicana Avenue and Reno Avenue, between Burnham Avenue and Spencer Street within Paradise. Is the applicant here? the representative. We will trail that to the end. Item number three, WS-2204-49, Spirit Investment LLC, waiver of development standards for the following. 1. Street landscaping. 2. Reduce access gate setback. 3. Eliminate curb returns. 4. Reduce throat depth. Design review for an outdoor storage facility on 0.5 acres in M1 light manufacturing zone, generally located on the south side of Cannoli Circle, 240 feet west of Wynn Road within Paradise.
Aye.
Microphone, name and address, please. Spell your last name for the record.
Hello.
Push the button. There you go.
Kip Barton with Ethos Re Architecture on behalf of the client. Address is 8985 Southeastern, Suite 220, Barton.
Thank you. Go ahead and tell us what you got.
You're on behalf of the client who wishes to do an outdoor storage facility for pallet storage. There will probably be at most 2 to 3 trucks per day that actually use the site. The idea is to have an automatic gate. The truck will pull in, will pull up in the cul-de-sac that only has, I believe, 4 people that actually use it, the cul-de-sac. And as he's pulling the truck up, he'll hit the automatic gate opener. The gate will open as he backs the truck in, and then he will unload or load pallets off the street, and then leave and shut the gate.
Okay. And what about the design review? What have you got to show us there?
Parking. The waivers of development standards that he's asking for are one for landscaping, which there's very little landscaping in the cul-de-sac anyway. It's an industrial cul-de-sac. And he feels that it would be just a waste of water to water landscaping out in front of such a small site. And he's also asking for a waiver of development standards for the gate setback and throat depth. If he actually put in the 50-foot required throat depth or gate setback, it would take up pretty much all the site. There would be no storage on the site.
Okay, is there anyone here in the audience that wants to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't see any issue with eliminating the landscaping for an industrial site. I don't see any particular benefit, though 0.5 an acre is not an insignificant site. But it is an industrial area that probably isn't going to benefit from one palm tree, in all honesty.
Well, staff has a problem with it.
I know staff has a problem with it. Staff always has a problem with our landscaping. I do also have concerns about the gate setback, just because it's a cul-de-sac and I don't want people to make a drive. And that gate will see its share of doom.
Well, I think they're concerned with the...
They're very upset about the landscaping.
Well, there was another one. It was reduce access gate setback.
Yeah, that's the other one that I have an issue concerned about them hitting, but I guess it...
So you're saying, oh, well, with that, approve the whole thing and...
Excuse me,
but it's close to the public.
You can't hear.
Oh, she can't hear?
No.
Is it on?
It is. But you have to look towards the microphone. We tend to talk down. It's a directional thing.
Yeah, is that better?
It's like a little higher. It's kind of just going to go poorly eventually.
Okay. Is that the one you have to put in your mouth?
Yes, you have to talk in and use your outdoor voice.
Okay. Now we're...
week or two, I'm sort of with the with them, but waiver 1, 3, and 4, I don't see a particular issue with, but that does mean I...
Well, the problem is that, according to staff, the reduction would cause, most likely, and perhaps you can answer this, the 10 feet would likely mean large commercial vehicles entering the site would be sticking out and impeding the right-of-way while the gates open, which may impact adjacent businesses on the cul-de-sac. For this reason, staff cannot support the waiver.
Right. Yeah, the client really...
Can you show us what they're talking about on your...
Yeah. So... Here's the gate. And obviously, and right now there's a 15-foot setback for the gate, so it's 15 foot off the property line right now. So if it actually did the 50 foot, the full depth of the site is only a little over 100 feet. So if they did the 50 foot, it would take out most of the storage on the site. So it'd be unusable for the storage. If the gate was actually in here and they had to pull a truck in here, and the gate, you know, the fence would be on either side, cutting off any access to these pallets.
But then on the other hand, you'd be blocking up the traffic for everybody else.
Right. So his thought is that it's only for four other parcel owners on the parcel or on the cul-de-sac, and that as he pulls up and opens the gate to pull in, they can go around him. There's a lot of room. It's not just a standard, you know, 60-foot right-of-way. It's a 100-foot or 90-foot circle for the cul-de-sac. So he feels that there's plenty of room for them to get around if there was any conflict in the time that the truck is there and they're trying to get in another parcel.
Do you have an aerial view on the other side of that?
Yes.
Okay, so.
So this is the site right here. And these are the other users. One here, I believe one here, and one here.
Okay. So you're going to be in...
So he would pull in here, the gate would open as he's backing in, he would load up, and then he would leave. So he's assuming that there would be enough area around the truck if he even pulled up and backed in that they would be able to get in.
So how far, let's say that was all done, and how far in would the truck be, let's say?
The truck would pull all the way into the site once the gate's open.
Once the gate's open.
Right.
So he's only there for a short period of time.
Correct. Just unloading our loading pallets.
So how many of these loading pallets and stuff do you see coming in? Are they one behind the other? Or?
He only sees like 2 to 3 trucks a day.
Oh, okay.
That's the most you'll ever see on the site.
It doesn't seem so bad.
How much traffic does that cul-de-sac see in a day? Like, just general traffic?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure.
That'd be my only concern. But it looks like it's mostly tank cars, not a whole bunch of trucks that are chilling out there.
Just two, I mean.
2 or 3 a day.
Correct, that's what the client told us.
It doesn't seem that bad. It looks like there's plenty of room.
Something with a review after a year or something?
You could do that.
Yeah.
When is this going to be operational?
All it is pallets on the site, so all they've got to do is put up the wall. So I'm not sure what his time frame is for doing that, but it's not going to be very long.
So a review in a year as a public hearing wouldn't be a big deal?
No, it would be fine.
Okay. Anybody want to make a
No.
You're the one that jumped in.
I don't want to.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve... Subject, don't have a problem with the landscaping. If I could see that again, I don't.
Sure.
It doesn't appear that the others have much in the way of landscaping either.
No, it looks like maybe a tree here, maybe a tree here, and that's it. That I can tell.
Yeah, I don't think it would provide substantial improvement to the area.
No, the wall will probably look better.
Other than likely one sprinkler broken the entire time.
The wall will probably actually improve that.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to approve, subject to the if approved conditions, and a review as a public hearing in 1 year.
Second.
from now. Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number four, AR 22400094, UC 084914, WC 017416, MGM Grand Propco LLC, waiver conditions, fifth application for review of a use permit for live entertainment limited to daytime hours, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., for a recreational facility, golf driving range, with accessory retail, eating and drinking facilities, live entertainment, and other accessory uses and structures in conjunction with a resort hotel, MGM Grand, on a portion of 102.7 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment AE60 zone, generally located on the southwest corner of Harmon Avenue and Colville Lane within Paradise.
Good evening, Jennifer Lazovich, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here today on behalf of Topgolf. The aerial photo shows you where it's located. It is on Koval and Harmon, outlined in yellow. If you read the staff report, you'll note that this is our fourth review. There's a number of very specific conditions that are listed and have been a continuation of conditions that we've had since we got open. We did a couple things to highlight. We did replace the mesh that is along the cobalt side in March. We have to kind of continue doing that because it gets holes and things like that happen. So that was replaced in March. And in addition, we added a security guard to our bays, particularly along the fourth floor, just to try to make sure that people aren't intentionally aiming a certain direction. And that has also helped make sure that we're keeping that ball count down and not having it go where it shouldn't go. Staff is recommending approval, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Is there anyone here in the public who would like to speak on the item? Seeing none, I'll close to the public and open it to the board. This has been going on for years. I'm glad they put up a new net, though. They actually have a security guard to make sure that the crazies don't shoot the ball towards the Marie Antoinette.
What happened is they didn't for a while, and there was a lot going on. And so what they did is it was just a combination of two things. They added that, or they replaced the net, but in addition, they have now a security guard that's up there. If you go through, we have to supply to Commissioner Gibson's office. I believe we also supply it to Marie Antoinette, what our ball report is every month. And I was just like reviewing it, and a lot of them are for people that don't even think, and they're just positioned a little wrong, and just a little bit of a turn, you kind of can get over there. But then we had some who were, the security guard caught them. They were intentionally doing it, and their membership was revoked, and they were kicked out. And that's all part of the report. So yes, that's okay. How we try to up our monitoring of what's happening.
How about the noise? It says here, you know, one thing when I was reading this, it said live entertainment to daytime hours, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
That's a long day.
That's not exactly daytime.
No, it's not exactly daytime.
It's within the agreement, isn't it?
It is. It's within our agreement, and we don't do it very often that I'm aware of. I'm looking at Blanca because do we do it very often? We have music, but I don't know that we have live entertainment.
I want to change that to. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's
unusual. Yeah, so they must not be bothered, but daytime hours and evening hours, maybe, or something. Okay.
Mr. Chair, if there are no comments or questions, I'd like to make a motion for approval, subject to staff's preliminary recommendation.
Okay. With another review in July 30th, 2024. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
At least Maria Antoinette's not here.
I know. I was like,
oh. They must be fine.
Might
if
be
they
fine.
Were fine, they'd be here.
That's true.
Okay. Item number 5. UC 220426 Diamond Creek Holdings LLC Series 8 use permit for a school in conjunction with an existing office and retail shopping center on 0.8 acres in a C2 general commercial zone and a CP office and professional zone, generally located on the west side of Eastern Avenue and north side of Ford Avenue within Paradise.
Hi.
And, I'm just going to mention for the record that we do have one letter of protest on this from the I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can, but I work with what I get. The Cotley firm, trial lawyers, they sent a letter in protest for this agenda item and indicated that they felt that they own the adjacent property and currently occupied by them. We object to the modification of the use proposed. They indicate that the dispensary is only 394 feet from an entrance to a school, which violates state and county codes, and they had other issues that they felt may violate state law. So just as a note for the secretary there, that's what we have. Okay, go ahead.
Melissa Urey, EURE, 1055 Whitney Ranch Drive, Suite 210, 89014, here on behalf of the applicant. I'm Yolanda Hamilton, H-A-M-I-L-T-O-N. I'm Yolanda. I am the executive director for Nevada Virtual Academy at 8645 Southeastern. So this is probably the best, the other two being planned here. This was also submitted as part of the backup. So it's, the school is actually going to be inside an existing commercial center. It's mostly office on the southern side of it, and you have some retail and a cafe up at the northern end of the property. So the school will actually only be taking this building right here. I do know that...
Where is the school?
The school is the blue square. So you can see it's kind of small down there in the bottom corner.
So it's down by...
Okay, the public is going to get a chance to jump into this, but let her give her presentation and then... There must be people out here that want to speak on it.
That's because it's a little easier to understand than necessarily have.
But I promise you, you'll get a chance to ask all your questions, and then they'll answer.
So the Nevada Virtual Academy, it is a hybrid or blended campus. The majority of their students learn online only. And they do have students for middle school and high school. The students come on campus only Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then they would be there occasionally on Fridays. For testing. And so they do in the morning, and you have this as part of the packet that I just handed to you, very front, just to kind of get an idea of what that would look like through the week. So they have high school session in the morning and middle school session in the afternoon. And so the proposed queuing is actually to bring the students up off of Ford, right here along the southern part of the building, back this way and then back behind.
Okay, so now why don't you repeat that, but show that so they can see it.
Okay. So the queuing shows having the parents come up off of Ford, skirting along the edge of the buildings, and then coming up back behind the school, dropping off at the school entrance, and then continuing on behind the buildings up and then exiting off on Woodlawn. So that is what we did propose. We did see the staff report, and staff is concerned about the queuing. So we did look at it. The RTC did do a study on the charter schools and their queuing, and they do recommend 0.2 vehicles for every student, and the maximum number of students at this campus would be 100 at any given time. So this is not a 600 to 900 typical charter school enrollment. And so of that, of course, you know, an even smaller percentage, because that small percentage is on site maximum. After reviewing staff's comments, we did come up with a couple of alternatives for the queuing, and one is basically switching that initial plan around, where instead the parents would come up off of Wigwam, and then again going back behind the western side of the property and then exiting out from there. And that gives them a 900 foot queuing space to the entrance of the school. So from that spot all the way to the school drop off. The other direction that was initially proposed is about 520 feet, so a little slightly smaller queuing, but using the RTC's calculation, the 0.2 for 100 students would be 20 cars to queue, which would be about 500 feet. So either way, they need it. And finally, as a third potential option, they're proposing that the students, the parents, park to drop off the students for both pickup and drop off. So the students would be dropped off in the yellow marked parking spaces, and the students could walk in from either side, either the main entry or the back entry to the school to go in. And then they'd be at different times. So the students would have set times of these students come at this particular time from 8:45 to, let's say, 8:30 to 8:45, the second group from 8:45 to 9 o'clock. And then in the middle of the day, from, say, 11:55 to 12:05 to 12:50, and then having the middle school students again, repeating the process. And that way, you know, the students aren't walking, the cars aren't queuing, and that breaking it up a little bit for the students in that particular case.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
That was the majority of it right there, and ready to take okay. any questions.
So how many people are here for this item? I got about 13. And how many are in favor of it? You're all in favor of it, except for two here? Okay.
How many people live by it? I'm
pretty sure. Yeah. How many people you live by it? Okay, and you?
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest of you, I take it, are parents of kids who may go there? Or? Okay. All right. This one's in. So we got 11 and 2. Okay. So is there anyone like to speak on the item? Okay. So who wants to start first? All right. 3 minutes.
Mary Boffin, 2467 Swan Ridge Avenue, Henderson, Nevada. I live right across the street. I go this way all the time. And when you're coming out 4 on the eastern, it's really difficult. It can cause enough accidents. And when you have this many, even 20 cars trying to get out off 4 onto eastern, that's a big problem. Also, there's several bars in the area. And I have nothing against bars. The village pub has great food and everything. A lot of people go there. And then there's the keg, too, that's right down the street. And this kind of coordinates with that letter from that attorney, which I didn't know you were going to have. But that has been a situation here in that I've been here over 50 years, and I've seen several of these meetings. So, yeah, I'm against having a school right there. I appreciate that you're trying. You know, schools are really great. We need them. We need good teachers. We need good school. But this area, I don't think it's very conducive for our school.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Larry Bronson. I live at 8658 Doug Forest Court. And it's BRYSON. I don't know, is there been a traffic impact study done on this area?
A traffic impact? There was one done when it was built.
No, I'm talking about recent.
Not in the more recent.
Okay, I've lived there for 22 years. I've watched Eastern develop from a two-lane highway to a four-lane to a six-lane now. And that needs to have an impact study because it's very dangerous. That street has constantly got accidents on it. It's 45 miles an hour speed limit. I've heard at one time there's 100,000 cars per hour at peak traffic. That's a lot of cars. And that's right at 8 o'clock through 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Let's see. It also increases the noise. I mean, this thing is noisy. It needs to have a noise impact study, too. You can't even get across the street out of Brookstone. I live in Brookstone. You cannot get across the street through the three lanes and then onto the other side of Eastern. Pretty much any time until, you know, 10, 11 o'clock when the traffic dies down enough to make your way through there. I mean, the speed limit is 45 miles an hour. You've got people trying to go into their businesses right there off of Eastern, which their existing business is now. They back up on the emergency lane to where you can't cross. It's causing a real problem as far as traffic. Pedestrians, forget about trying to get a pedestrian across there. You know, there's only two pedestrian crossings, one on Wigwam and one on Pebble. And so that leaves a full block where, you know, students and their students across to go to high school and on up the street. I mean, they're trying to jaywalk, trying to get across the street. Another thing, I'd like to know the total occupancy of the development once you get done. That is going to dump, most of the buildings now are vacant. And I don't know what that has to do with your business plan or anything, but when that thing gets full, the traffic just from the people going in and out the business alone, let alone the school, it's going to increase by, I don't know how much, but a lot. As far as loading and unloading these kids to the school, you're still going to have to access Eastern one way or the other, And Eastern, like I said, is almost impossible to access at that time. You need to get a traffic impact study done, and I'd like to see it, and I'd like to have the number of cars going down that street counted through either, I don't know how they do it, I'm sure there's a way to stretch a thing across the road so they can count them well. But at this time, the way it is, I just can't go along with it, and that's why I'm here. So, anyway, thanks for your time.
Okay. Is there anyone else who likes to speak?
Good evening. My name is Clem Zeroli. I'm the building owner at 8645. My last name is Zirolli. And I can appreciate a lot of the things that show and saying in the lady that I have. But the previous tenant had over 400 employees, and we had probably 3 to 4 times the amount of traffic going into the site than what we're proposing at this time. This is not an ordinary school, and I can understand this concern of people crossing streets in that nature. This is a very controlled environment. And so the good news is that we don't have any of those risks. Unfortunately, the city of Las Vegas, we kind of bars and pubs all over the city. And so this environment being a controlled environment, kind of off the beaten path with respect to its location. And then it's safety. If you look at the corridor that they're proposing to travel on, there's virtually no parking at all in that corridor. In fact, our building and our company owns all the parking associated with the back of the building. So none of the businesses in the front utilize the back for parking, and even for access, because it's almost meaningless for them to have to go back there. The other part is the times that the school's going to operate is ideal with respect to the other tenants of the complex. So, for example, they're going to be dropping off a little earlier than most businesses start, and so it should have virtually zero impact on any of the things we're talking about. In fact, the risk to people driving is substantially less. As I said, we had over 400 employees in the last tenant. Probably, my guess is at least 300 cars coming in. I'm sure some use public transportation, but for the most part, it's an enormous reduction in strain on the infrastructure with respect to all the elements kind of discussed. One of the so the time, the I don't believe you guys even have busing in there. Is that correct? So it's all cars. We're not talking about kid drivers. We're talking about parents dropping children off. So they're qualified to drive. The risk is low. The kids do not go outside. There's no outside area for these kids to participate in. So you won't see much pedestrian traffic at all. In fact, you'll see less than you might see if we had another tenant in there. As before, because they're parking in various places in the parking area. One other thing, we ran this by the board of directors at the association, and they are in favor of both either of the directions we move the traffic and see virtually no hardship on the complex.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
My name is Donna Alexander. LDAXANDR. I'm the principal at the high school at 8645 Southeastern. There was mention of Eastern Avenue being an issue. I drive to the school every day and I try to avoid Eastern Avenue at all costs. It looks very simple to do. The school serves the entire state for students, not just Clark County. We have students up in Northern Nevada and all over Nevada. Buses were mentioned. We do not have buses. The adult daycare there has numerous emergency buses every day. With regard to the options of students being dropped off, I'm always looking out for students for safety and otherwise. I'm not a fan of us having to have parents park and then back up and possibly back up for students. I went to work the other day on Maryland Avenue at Maryland and Silverado Ranch. Three kids, as soon as our light turned green, went in across the street. We're going to. Our students are brought in from all over town, so they aren't going to the school.
Is there anyone else? Okay, I'll close it to the public and open it up to you to address their issues.
Alright, so one of the things is with the students, they are charter school students, so they're not walking from the local neighborhoods, as has been mentioned. The parents are required to drop off the students, so you're not going to have to worry about them crossing the street, crossing throughout the shopping center, walking around. Also, the school has proposed to use a software called Silent Dismissal. So each parent is given essentially like a barcode or a coded number, so if the cars come in, that there's a staff member out there, they're able to put that into the software. It notifies the teacher that the student's parent is there and the student is released to the car. So they're not going to be necessarily milling about outside the building or just wandering around throughout the shopping center, you know, potentially getting into mischief. So that's, you know, one of the things that the school's proposing to make this as easy as possible for parents to get in and out as quickly as possible, but also to keep the students safe. These students are, a lot of them, Title I students, so that's another reason why you are going to have parents picking up and dropping them off. The students aren't necessarily driving themselves to school for those high school students. These are students that are attending, they are credit deficient, or they are students that have done testing through the school system and are found to be running a little behind. So these students that are going to this school, they're not just coming to get their regular diploma. A lot of them, they're coming onto the school site. They are coming for a very specific reason, to get some additional in-person instruction, but they're given one day a week. So they aren't there every day. They aren't there all day necessarily. They're just coming in for that additional in-person instruction to help give them a better education so that they can understand better and hopefully catch up to their classmates.
Okay. We're done.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you had public had their turn.
Okay,
she's responding. Yeah, she's responding and she's done that. So, all right, thank you. I'll turn it over to the board.
So I still have issues. Not all relating to this, but I live near here and I have to say that the fact that you have drop off barcode dismissal sounds really wonderful and neat, except for the fact that everyone shows up at the same time and you have 50 cars backing up onto Wigmore. because they're all waiting for their kid to get that barcode and dismissal to get to the classroom to have the kid, you know, eventually wander their way out of the building, as high school students are wont to do. They never leave with purpose. So I'm concerned about us having that. I understand that there used to be 400 people working there, that you'd have 400 people parking there. That school, they all arrive at different times, so the traffic impact is different than having, I can't count, six different sections of pickup and drop-off. That's, I'm leaning towards agreeing with staff decision of denial, just based on I'm not convinced that this traffic situation is going to get better, because I do drive up down Eastern every day, because I don't have a choice to avoid it, because that's how I get to work. And it's already at 7:45 when I go, absolute trash to drive. So I have to pass by with one, and I can only imagine that intersection is going to get progressively worse with this. I don't have an issue with it being a school, it's just this drop-off traffic issue that is not something that's going to be easily resolved by your admittedly very cool barcoding system of children.
Would the parking be better, or do you think that's worse than the queuing? Because as we said, there was two queuing options, but also an option to drop off the students by parking and then pulling out and then breaking them up a little bit. And yes, we know human nature to some extent. Some parents can maybe arrive a few minutes early, a few minutes late. So given there's always a little bit, but that's why they try to, you know, we don't have as many students too, so that's trying to give them enough time, but understanding that yes, there may be a little overlap in there. But do you feel that there's a preference?
I think that parking, allowing some parking, will probably alleviate part of this issue, but then you run into the issue that you're probably gonna have everyone parking and making all the neighbors upset that suddenly, and you know, you're new. There's 600 people, and the person comes back from lunch, suddenly their parking space is gone because mom's waiting for that. But I can't say one way or the other, you would need a traffic study to decide if it could handle a queue or not. And fun fact, the way they do traffic studies is they put a poor intern on a corner with a counter. They put a poor traffic intern on a corner, and they count. That's how they do traffic studies. My friend did it for a summer. But I think it would need a traffic study if we wanted to go that route of allowing.
Well, I was surprised that the traffic study isn't even mentioned in the,
yeah,
in this. I would think that they wouldn't have that. My experience has been that I know it's a great plan, but I have yet to see the queuing with the schools work anyway. Okay, I know this is a little bit different than yours. I have an elementary school that's a block and a half from me. Brand new. Plenty of room for queuing. They're still out in the street where it says no parking. Parents picking up their kids do not follow the rules. I don't care what you try to do, unless you put people out there, and then your staff is going to be subject to a lot of grief for the way they act. So I have the same concern. One, there's no traffic study even mentioned in this. Eastern is really a mess as far as traffic is concerned. I don't know how much more they're going to have to widen it in order to carry the flow. But I still have a concern that the parents will not follow the plan. And I don't see a traffic study, one, mentioned in this write-up from staff. I thought there should have been one. There's one for everything else, so I don't know why there wasn't one required for this. But I would agree. I'm not comfortable with the queuing, and it could back out.
Yeah, and also think about it, I think there's a school that is one street back from this. It's actually a middle school, I believe, that's right there. I think they just got a new traffic light installed, so that's additional traffic that's going to be showing up at your 8:45.
And the teacher thinking is it's
It's sealed off of Spencer.
Which way? One of the directions.
This way, that way.
But there's both a high school and a middle school back on Spencer that will be using those, sort of, you know, Wigwam as the side street to get there at these times. So.
So again,
traffic study would tell you what happens there.
I can say the one thing, I did speak to traffic staff at the county, and because the queuing, the majority of the queuing is on site, well, pretty much all the queuing, as far as they could do, would be on site. They didn't really have a lot to comment on at the time. They basically said when you come back, you know, there may be more, but at that time, with as much queuing space as they were showing on site, that they didn't necessarily have a comment at that time. We have tried to engage a traffic engineer to do a queuing analysis on this. Everyone's a little backed up, so we have someone, but unfortunately, we weren't going to be able to have it ready for tonight. If it makes sense for us to move forward and come back to you with that queuing analysis, we'd be willing to hold the item to, if we could, to the September 12th. Meeting or
13th?
I'm giving you the wrong date. The 13th, and by then have that queuing analysis. That, you know, I don't know if that's really going to be a magic answer for all the schools, but potentially it may show what would make the most sense for this particular school at this location.
There's never a magic answer because, like John said, you involve parents and their IQ drops when they get to the parking. I think a traffic study would be helpful, but I don't know necessarily if it would change their answer at that point.
And I don't know if it needs to come back to us. They might want to have it for their
board meeting.
Board of County Commissioner meeting at on 9/21.
Yeah.
Well, I think that what I did is just the way that the staff, their recommendation has a lot to do with like the exhaust from the passing cars, as well as the noise. And I think that it does need to come back. I like the idea of the school. And I think the school is always a good thing. I think there's just so many problems with the pathway that if there was some way to shore that up a little stronger, it wouldn't be a big issue.
Yeah, and so as far as the noise, you know, the one positive to it would be that they're not at early hours, not at late hours, they're not on weekends, they're not on holidays, and of course in the summer, school's out, so they're not there, so it does reduce it. And the fact that the students aren't there all week long, they're there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it does reduce some of that impact to the neighbors because they're not there all week long. I do understand that there is that added middle time that there's pickup and drop off, but we're also talking a maximum of 100 per students per session, so they're not going to have a 300, 600, 900 students being dropped off. It is a much smaller number of students than our typical charter schools out here. I agree, parents still go crazy, but being said, just looking at it from compared to some of the other charter schools, not saying they won't have issues, but at least it is, again, a decrease in the impact, given that they max at 100 students. So,
I'm agreeable to them coming back.
They don't go to the Board of County Commissioners till the 21st of September, so we could see them again by which meeting?
The
13th?
With this queue that they talk about, do they time how fast a kid gets in a car and then seatbelt on and move like NASCAR? Because I'm just curious, like if you get 30 cars back there at one time and you know the kids are coming out, the first kid may take forever to get into the car, put his seatbelt on, and you know, just wait, you know, moving safely. I'm just curious how they do these studies where you can tell how long the queue is going to last.
I can ask them. I know a lot of them, they base it on the number of students and how much line, basically how much space you need to stack your cars. I don't know if they give as much attention to detail on the time and want, but I don't know if you've seen any where they really...
I think there's a lot of certain seconds amount to each car. It's an average amount, and then that's what they add all together.
Yeah.
And the reason why I was asking that, because then that may solve some of the issues of the exhaust.
Right.
You don't have people sitting in the back of there idling, maybe that would help. So that's why I was asking if there was a time.
Yeah, they have their calculations of what, you know, this many students, this many vehicles, this much distance, this much time that they come up with to determine.
I don't know that I've got that many cars behind my wall.
And my only issue with it being by house, regardless of what time it is because some of you work from home now. So just because you're not no longer, you know, you're doing office hours, that could be someone's office that we're now listening to. But I think we need to see a traffic report, and we also need to know how long you anticipate it take from someone scanning that barcode to a teacher releasing to a child actually managing to get out the door. Because, you know, no matter that queue analysis, they can say, oh yeah, it'll take, you know, 10 seconds for a kid to get out. If the kid stops and chatters with his friend for 5 minutes that also got released at the same time, by happenstance, your queue's now.
Right. And if it's the burden, and the burden would really be on the teachers and administrators to make sure that the students are leaving immediately and not spending the time chatting up another student that's still waiting for their parents to arrive.
Yeah.
So that would be something to, we could certainly, you know, at least get a general idea of what does that look like, to give you an idea for here's the calculations, here's kind of the real world.
Yeah, more or less. I think that would be helpful to our decision being more in your favor than it is currently.
So, you want to make a motion to bring it back to the board on the 13th?
Motion to hold 2 weeks for
you're agreeable to that?
Mayor Mandel.
And return to the board on the September 13th.
Yeah.
And just so you know, if we pass this, they won't get another notification on this.
They won't.
So you'll need, she's going to make a motion, we'll probably agree, for them to come back on the 13th.
But make it specific so that the analysis is specific to you.
Make it very specific what you want. And then you won't get a notice on that, so you need to mark your calendars. But if you want to be here for that meeting, come back on the 13th, same time, same place.
Same radio station.
Is the QA analysis for the staff as well?
We can. I don't know if we have a way to upload it, but we can certainly send it over.
Okay, go for it.
I should have done my other one. Mr. Chair, I move that we hold this item UC220426 until our next meeting on September 13th, with the request that the applicant submit a queuing analysis to us as well as get it to staff as best you can. And that's it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We'll see you back on the 13th of September, 7 o'clock.
This doesn't change the Board of Commissioners date, and you will not get another notice. So if you want to go to all those, if you request a whole notice.
Okay. Item number 6 is ZC 220427, Ocean Showboat Inc. Zone change to reclassify 9.4 acres from an M1 light manufacturing zone to an R5 apartment residential zone. Waiver development standards for the following. 1. Increased building height. 2. Waive Asian design overlay district standards. 3. Reduce landscaping and allow modified driveway design standards. Design reviews for the following. 1. Proposed multiple family residential development. 2. Alternative parking lot landscaping. 3. Finished grade in the Asian design overlay district, generally located on the south side of Pioneer Avenue and the west side of Valley View Boulevard within Paradise.
Good evening, Liz Olson, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant, Graystar Development. This site is just over 9 acres. We're right on Spring Mountain to the south, Valley View to the east, and Pioneer to the north. Currently zoned to M1, again, another multi-family project coming in this area that's slowly converting more of the urban area. We are master plan entertainment mixed use, which allows for conforming zone change to R5, which is what we are requesting. We are directly across the street from the Lotus Apartments that was approved several years ago, and as well as this small piece down here, a few years ago, we were before you for a smaller mixed-use project that was approved. So we are requesting a zone change to R5, 352 units. We have three separate buildings. We have our clubhouse here in the center. Our main entry is a gated access off of Pioneer. The gate is located here. Our call box is 150 feet from the main entry. We have two exit-only gates. We worked with Public Works on changing these from ingress to only egress, so folks can only come out of both of these gates. We're requesting to do four stories, 59 feet in height, which does require a waiver. I wanted to talk quickly about the other couple waivers that we have. First and foremost is our throat depth waiver. As I mentioned, we worked with Public Works on these gates. We have three parking spaces right here. So I think that's really their major concern. I did talk with them a couple weeks ago about this one more time. So again, our call box is 150 feet, and there's turnaround here. This is an exit-only gate, so we can't turn this way. We can come in here, park, and then come back out, but the gate is pushed back here. So what we could potentially look at, if this is something that you want us to look at, is removing these three spaces. That way there's no conflict in this 150-foot area toward that main entry gate. We also have an exit-only along Spring Mountain here. Our other waiver is for Pioneer and Wynn. There's an existing wall all around the property with 5 feet of landscaping on the outside of the wall. So our client would like to try and utilize that existing wall so they don't have to tear it down, move it back 5 feet, and then plant more landscaping. So we'll have 5 feet of landscaping on the outside, the wall, and then 5 feet of landscaping inside the property line. Staff is recommending approval of that because it's meeting the intent of the landscaping and allowing the client to utilize that wall. Our last waiver that I just quickly want to mention is the waiver of the Asian design overlay standard. So this is a photo of the Lotus that's directly next door. Our project essentially is the same, except the colors. We have the same roof line, we have wood accents, we have the same pop-out. So we did take a look at this when we were making our elevations here. We believe that it's similar enough that it will be compatible with the existing area. But again, happy to answer questions on that. And then one more thing I forgot about, my throat depth here. So as you probably know, Pioneer ends to the east of us and to the west of us here. So we're not going to have a lot of traffic coming down Pioneer. We originally had our main entrance off of Spring Mountain, but we changed that to Pioneer, knowing that it's going to be severely less intense with traffic, and again with that throat depth. So that's our overall request, and happy to answer any questions.
Is there anyone here to like speak on the item? Seeing that, I'll close to the public and open it for the board.
I've chatted this entire evening.
So you're proposing to move the gate back, is that it?
So the gate is already here. So this is our main entry gate. Yeah. And our call box is 150 feet, so our gate is probably about 170, maybe 180. So it's quite a bit inside the property. What I suggest is potentially removing or relocating these three spaces here. So that way when people are backing out, they wouldn't conflict with people that are coming in.
Let's see, waivers, I understand, 1, 2, 3.
That's what we're doing, like, which one might be their segment,
too? Oh, here it is. Waiver control, staff must get the direction. Okay. Well, staff is saying that staff cannot support it because drivers entering the site would be in conflict with resident egress on the west side and guest parking on the east side, and parking in the queuing area that accesses the resident ingress gate.
Right, so what they're talking about is the parking in the queuing area, that's this, those three spaces here. That's mm-hmm. what I'm suggesting potentially moving elsewhere, so it's out of that queuing area. And then the gates that they're talking about, the first one is here, and then the next one is much farther into the site. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people coming out of here, they have quite a bit of room before they hit this. And then here we'll have a stop sign. It's no different than any other intersection. People are going to have to stop before they turn out. So, but we did change that to exit only, so it would
well,
not...
Well, you're on private property, and they tend not to.
Sometimes, yes, for sure.
Even on public property, they tend not to.
Yeah. But on private property, it's even worse. And there's no enforcement.
Yeah, we originally had this as an ingress as well, but that would certainly cause an issue queuing on to Pioneer.
So they said that if the ingress, if the egress only gate is approved, staff requests a condition of approval that requires the extension of this, of the median on Spring Mountain Road to eliminate conflicting left turn movements from the septic site and from the western drive on the site to the east.
On Spring Mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked with them about that as well. I just talked to Antonio a few days ago about this. So, yes, if it is approved, they would have to extend this median. So
they being who?
Are the developer. We would have to. So that would force people to go right only and not across from them. And our clients are aware of that.
I don't have an issue with the overlay not matching the Asian district or Asian overlay district. It's an apartment complex. It's going to look how it looks. But, yeah, that
well, that building is in the Asian district as well?
It is, yeah. So this property is directly next door to us.
And it's painted all kinds of colors.
Yeah, different colors.
They kind of almost complement each other.
Yeah.
I'm not great with colors.
The colors, I don't think, complement each other, but I don't think it would look out of place.
No.
So I don't see an issue with that, but I kind of agree with them that three-way stop at the entrance is going to be an interesting life choice.
And then if it's approved, then they put in the median, they adjust the median.
Yeah.
That should cause everybody to turn right.
And we could potentially look at removing this gate entirely, mm-hmm. so that way you have people coming out here and not here.
Yeah.
But we can work on that.
I mean, if you completely remove that gate, then there's no real issue with that one exit and that other exit. Just making those people in that apartment have to drive a little bit longer.
Yeah. I can't really get around that.
Yeah,
I
can't get around it, so.
Okay. Well, I would, I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Cool.
Okay, I love that. Hey, that's your phone. You did fine. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve with the if approved conditions and the recommendation to follow staff's recommendation for the median. Now I can't find what it was.
That's
in the if approved? Okay.
Yeah.
With the if approved conditions. Makes it easy.
It sure does.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck with it.
Have a good night.
Goes to the BCC on 9.1. The applicant for item number one.
Two.
Or two. No.
Two.
Oh, two, yes. Church LDS presiding bishop. Are they here? I take it they're not. So I would make a motion for return to the board on item number 2BS220430, Church LDS, presiding bishop, vacate and abandon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Huh? Oh, okay. We'll get that to them. All right. Any general business?
I have a question.
We'll get there in just a minute. Okay, there's no general business. Okay, item number 8, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on the matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, and you'll need to use the microphone. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. And the length of presentation will be done, to extend the length of the presentation will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Okay.
My name is Rachel Ward. My address is 5016 Liberty Circle. I'm actually here today because I got this notice in the mail about the easements, and I really wanted to know who owns the property on Burnham, and I think it's Reno. There is an entryway into the community with four corners that I never taken care of. I have paid my landscaper once to clear out the grass and the weeds that grow there. And I'm just curious as to why that area is never taken care of. I put in many complaints about it. I take pictures, send it to the city. The only way it gets taken care of is if I pay someone personally to take care of it. It's not my personal property.
Right. Okay, have you, Blanca here will help you. She's with Jim Gibson's office. They get you squared away on how that can get addressed. Okay? But there should be some reason, some way for code enforcement.
Oh, hold on. You got time for the and then we'll
okay. Next meeting is September 13th, 2022. We have a motion to adjourn, right?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. There you go. We got everybody in.